praise God for another day and another opportunity to open His Word together. Let me ask you to turn to the Old Testament prophecy of Hosea. Chapter 7 of the book of Hosea. This is a prophecy that's literally full of very rich metaphors and word pictures. Unfortunately, they're very often about Israel's sin and decline and her unfaithfulness. But nevertheless, the power of a metaphor in the prophets gives a biblical lesson a staying power in our minds. It gives it a memorable image that brings the lesson home to us and makes it not easy to forget. And that is the way of the prophets as they speak of such amazing things in such poetic language. It is not easy to forget their words or their lessons. We're going to focus on Hosea 7, verses 8 through 10 in our short time here this morning, and really focus on one of Hosea's word pictures. Hosea 7, 8 through 10. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. We'll end our reading there. Gray hairs are a sure sign that youth has passed. And oftentimes it's a very anxious moment in someone's life when that first gray hair appears, right? And that person will very often do everything they can to cover over or color over that gray hair, which is a sure sign of aging. Because our society's perception is that gray hair means weakness. Gray hair means decline. Gray hair means the lack of appeal. And so there are 1,000 products out there that you can get for $19.95, right, that will color your hair and take away that gray. But in God's grace, the gray hairs of God's people are supposed to be an honorable sign of wisdom and spiritual maturity. And so in the Bible, very often gray hair is equated with these things, with growth in faith, with wisdom and spiritual maturity in the grace of Christ. And so, in the Bible, a gray head is something to be respected. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, "The splendor of old men is their gray head." Doesn't say anything about bald heads, but I imagine the idea is, quote, much the same. In our little text here in Hosea 7, however, the image is quite different. In the context of this chapter, the prophet has been enumerating Israel's sins. And then in verse 9, their sins are pictured as gray hairs that Israel doesn't notice. These are evidences of spiritual decline and spiritual agedness that have appeared one by one, just like gray hairs. And just like gray hairs, those signs of spiritual decline can be ignored or covered over one by one, but only for so long. And so what's pictured here in Hosea 7 is a people who are past their spiritual prime, and they don't even know it. They become like someone who thinks he's young and youthful looking, but everyone around him can see his gray hairs. So the sins of Israel are pictured as the gray hairs of spiritual decline, of a life misspent. It's an image of spiritual decay. Calvin said of this verse, "Israel had committed so many evils that he was worn out, as it were, by old age." And like people who cover over or color over their gray hairs, Israel was in denial about her spiritual decline. Look at verse 9. It says, "Gray hairs are here and there on him, and yet he does not know it." Now, verse 9, with this metaphor of gray hairs, the gray hairs of spiritual decline, maybe it's not the centerpiece of this chapter, certainly not the centerpiece of the book of Hosea. And it's certainly not the only point of this passage, but it's a convicting point, and it's a very applicable point. And so we do well to focus on it for this short time that we have here this morning. Well, let's notice, first of all, from verse 8, what led up to Israel's spiritual decline? And the answer is, in short, they had simply mixed into the world and had become one with the world. Verse 8 says, Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake unturned. In short, they failed to be holy. Holy means to be separate from the world, to be separated unto God for his purposes, to be a special treasure and possession of the Lord, and to follow him uniquely and only. They failed to do that. They failed to separate themselves from the world and its ways. Instead, they blended into the world with its practices and its lifestyles. Now, in ancient times, in the context of Israel, this would have meant, and often did mean, that they took on the cultural practices and the worship of the surrounding nations, like the Canaanites. And that is one of the great messages of Hosea, how they had done that. They had gone after other lovers, right? They had pursued other gods, and they failed to maintain their distinction as the covenant people set apart by God and called out of the world. And so eventually the line between Israel and the Canaanites, the line between the church and the world, eventually became blurred. Now, this is a perennial challenge and a constant danger, an age-old challenge that the church has always faced. And there would be some today, even in our world, who would encourage the church to do this, to embrace the world with open arms, to embrace the values and trends of society in the church's message and in the church's worship. And those same would claim that this is the way to build bridges to the world. This is the way to look relevant to people on the outside. But the fact is that our hearts, like the hearts of the ancient Israelites, are prone to worldliness. There's a deceptive attraction to be just a little more in tune with pop culture so that we're not deemed as irrelevant. But the end result of that path is that the church is very often and will be sapped of its witness and vitality and ultimately its holiness until finally you cannot tell the difference between the church and the world. Now, of course, we're called to be in the world. We're called to be as lights to the world. We're called to take a message out into the world, to a fallen world, and to preach the good news of Christ to all around us. But let's not forget, above all, we are called to be holy. We are called to be separated unto God in our faith, in our lives, and in our worship. We are not to be blandly and thoughtlessly mixed in to the world around us. 1 John 2:15, the apostle says, "Love not the world or the things of the world." That is a command that we need to consider, even in the small ways in which we come in contact with the world around us. We need to think more often, and we need to think more clearly about how this principle really applies. Love not the world or the things of the world. Failure to do this was the root of Israel's spiritual decline. Now, the result of this mixing into the world is described in terms of another metaphor, one that we're not going to focus on today, but it's interesting in verse 8. It says, Ephraim is a cake unturned. There's no explanation of that. It's just a bare metaphor. Ephraim is a cake unturned. So the word picture here is, picture this in your mind, a loaf of bread that's burned on one side and uncooked on the other, raw on the other side. Literally, they are half-baked. Right? That's what it says. Now, we use that term half-baked to describe something or someone who's crazy, right? Half-baked. But in this context, half-baked means half-committed. It means half-faithful. It means half-Christian. And what better image could picture the church that has mixed itself into the world? What better image than a half-baked loaf of bread? This is what becomes of the church when it willingly mixes with the world. It becomes half-hearted. It becomes half-faithful. Now, let's move on to the metaphor where we want to spend more of our time this morning, and that is in verse 9 and verse 10. This is a very clinching and very convicting metaphor. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him. and yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. The metaphor here is of gray hairs that have gone unnoticed. Israel's pictured as aging and just growing gray, growing old. Not in a physical sense, of course, but in a spiritual sense. They're past their spiritual prime. They've lost their spiritual strength because of their sin, because of their mixing into the world. And all of this is pictured as those gray hairs of spiritual decline that pop up one by one, and he doesn't even notice. Now, this is a great contrast to a lot of other texts in the Bible. If you think about it, we just sang from Psalm 92 how God's people, even in old age, will renew their strength, right? They'll still flourish fresh and green. They'll still bear fruit. And that's a common strain throughout the Bible. That kind of language is familiar. Ezekiel, for instance, pictures Israel in their youth when they were young and strong and faithful long before the exile. And Isaiah very memorably promises that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and they will mount up with the wings of eagles with youth. That is spiritual youth and vitality that is constantly renewed. So this is a familiar picture in the Bible and a familiar promise. But Israel's persistence in loving the world and mixing in with the world and the ways of the world turned them old, turned them frail and gray in terms of their spiritual vitality. And as the text points out, what's worse, they didn't know it, or they wouldn't admit it. Verse 9 says, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. And that's what makes the metaphor so vivid. That's what makes it so convicting, because it's a situation that is familiar to us. Oftentimes, we can see other people aging. Right? We can see their gray hairs pop up here and there, and we look at pictures of them from the past, and we can see the aging process in people around us. But we're very often, I would say almost always, unaware of it in ourselves. It happens so gradually, right? It happens so imperceptibly from day to day. We don't notice how many more gray hairs we have today than we had yesterday. We don't notice those kinds of things. And it's such an appropriate metaphor because spiritual decline can occur in the very same way. Not in one great fall, not in one horrible day, but gradually, imperceptibly, from day to day, and you may not notice. Apathy can set in slowly. Love can grow cold over time. Spiritual gifts can atrophy if you don't use them. And any zeal to grow in grace, any zeal to grow closer to the Lord can diminish. It can waste away. And what's worse is you may not even see it. You may not know it. The Christian life can become jaded. Sometimes it happens when a certain sin is just stubbornly embraced in life. Sometimes our own interests, our own goals, divert our attention from kingdom work in life. And we give less and less focus to our calling in Christ. Some folks just get weary of fighting the same old sins in life and struggling with the same old doubts. Others simply do what Israel had done. Simply embrace the world and its ways and mix right back in. The soul can, in a sense, have its own gray hairs appear one by one, a long or gradual spiritual decline that may not be perceptible to you from day to day. Well, then, the great question is, what do we do about that? What do we do to guard against this spiritual decline that did happen to Israel and can happen? Well, what do people do when they look for the signs of aging in themselves physically, like gray hairs? How do people look for that? Well, they look in a mirror, don't they? They take a good look in the mirror at themselves. They look at themselves and they honestly assess what they see. Now, something of this idea of looking in a mirror, I think, is found in verse 10 of our text. Look back there with me again. It says, the pride of Israel testifies to his face. Now, the verb that's translated testifies here in the New King James Version is the verb anah in Hebrew, which is the verb most often used to answer someone. Like if you're in a conversation when someone says something, you answer them. Anah, that's the verb. But it's also the verb that's used to mean reflection, as if looking in a mirror. Because think about it, an answer is something that comes back at you. And a reflection is the same thing. It's the answer of your reflection. It's something that comes back to you. That's the idea. So this is the verb that's used when one looks into a mirror or into a pool of water and sees a reflection. So this verse is building on the idea of gray hair reflecting that spiritual agedness, but now it's the face of Israel. His reflection shows his age, right? The lines in his face, the fact that he's in decline. It shows in his face. It's reflected in his face as if looking in a mirror. Now back to the point, to the question that I had asked. How do you look for signs of aging? You look at yourself in a mirror. Because the mirror doesn't ever lie. It's going to show you exactly what's there. It's going to answer with a reflection and show you what's there. And in the same vein, how do we look for the signs of spiritual decline? Well, the answer is that we must examine ourselves closely. Not in a mirror, of course, but by the standard of God's word alone. Simply put, we must look into the perfect law of liberty, as James calls it. It is God's word that shows us who we are and who we need to be. In fact, let's just take a moment to turn to James, because he uses this mirror imagery. In James chapter 2, or chapter 1, I believe, James chapter 1, he says in verse 23, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." The comparison is this. A man might look into a mirror and see what he looks like. He turns on his heels and he immediately forgets what he's seen. But the comparison here is that if we look into the perfect law of liberty as if looking into a mirror, then we understand something real, something true. And if we're a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, then we get a sense of who we are, right? We get a sense of how we are to be. We get a sense of God's direction for who we ought to be as his people. So that is our mirror, isn't it? The perfect law of liberty is our mirror. We look into it and we see what we really are and how we need to be. And so it's God's word that is that mirror by which we can examine our souls to see whether or not we are growing in faith or whether or not we are spiritually declining. Just as a mirror will show you the marks of age, God's word will show you the state of your soul, whether you are growing or whether you are growing these gray hairs of spiritual decline. And just as you look into a mirror every day, you must look into God's word every day. It must be a constant thing in life to examine the state of your soul and the strength of your faith. You do look into a mirror every day, don't you, to manage your appearance, right? It's really the first thing you do in the morning, right? Men get up and the first thing they do is they shave and they comb their hair and so on, and women do whatever it is they do in front of mirrors, but they do a lot of things. But that's a constant of every day, right? You look into the mirror because the purpose is to manage your appearance before you go out of the house, right? You need to manage that. Now imagine for a moment if you never looked into a mirror. If you just rolled out of bed and went to work, or just rolled out of bed and came to class, and you had no idea what you looked like, and you did that day after day. If you never managed your appearance, right, it wouldn't be very long before you looked pretty shabby. Right? It'd only be a day or two, I bet. Let alone notice the gray hairs that come over time. You certainly wouldn't notice those. But in the same way, if we don't look into God's word on a daily basis, we really get no sense of our souls. We don't get the reflection we need to be able to manage the soul and to see where we need correction in life and guidance in faith. In my experience as a pastor, when I have counseled people who are seriously tangled up in some pathway of life that is just not good, that is away from the Lord, there is no interaction with the means of grace going on there. There is no looking into God's word. And when one stays away from that perfect law of liberty and never looks into it, You cannot manage the soul. You cannot see those gray hairs of spiritual decline. And in the same way, if we don't look at God's word for a long period of time and not in a consistent way, it won't be long before our souls are in a shabby state, just like our physical appearance if we never looked into a mirror. So the point is simply this. You will never see the gray hairs of spiritual decline if you do not look into the mirror of God's word, that perfect law of liberty. But I want to end on this note, that we do have the promise that by the grace of Christ, if we are hearers of the word and doers of the word, our faith will grow. And the promise of Scripture is that we will be and can be renewed day by day. We will never pass our spiritual prime. We will not suffer those gray hairs of spiritual decline if with true faith we pursue the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and always look steadfastly into the perfect law of liberty. So the admonition that comes to us today from God's word is to look to his word at least as often as you look in the mirror. And that is daily. What kind of people would we be? What kind of people would we be if we look to God's word just as often, because our souls are more important than our bodies? The outer man will grow old, and you will get those gray hairs on your head. But the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so as our bodies decline, our spiritual life is to grow. There are two lines on a graph that are to go like this, right? You can be sure that the one is going to go down. That is you and your body and your gray hairs and everything else. But by looking into God's word, by walking with him day by day, and by looking into that perfect law of liberty consistently, you can be sure that we will be renewed day by day. And we will have that strength and vitality that God's people have even in their old age. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that your promises are true and that we can trust them wholeheartedly. And we do pray, Lord God, that you would keep us near to yourself, that we would not be drawn into the world or mixed into it, but that we would serve you with a whole heart and not half-heartedly. And Father, we know that we are prone to weakness in our faith, and we cannot walk in faith if left to ourselves. We need your word and the power of your spirit working in our lives through the word. And so give us the strength, Lord God, to always look into your perfect word, that we might see ourselves truly for who we are, that we might know you for who you are, and that our faith might be renewed from day to day, and that we might not suffer this decline and be past our spiritual prime. Father, we desire to be renewed from day to day. And so by your power and by your mercy, renew us. For your great name's sake, we pray. Amen.